This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Gil Alexander of A Numbers Game will join us. So we will go over all of the NFL draft round one reactions, look ahead to the NBA playoff games for Friday, look back at the playoff games from Thursday. So a lot to do, a lot to discuss. And I will just start here with the NFL draft. And really the story of the draft was the Hunter trade, because we went in thinking it's pretty chalky until five. And then once we get to five, who knows? But at one, you figure it's Ward. Then two, Hunter. At three, Carter. At four, Campbell. And we got all that. The thing that threw everyone for a curveball, including me, was the fact that Jacksonville trades from five to two. And boy, did they give up a lot to go from five to two. And they end up with Hunter. They give up a two. They give up a one next year. They gave up a lot to get him. And that really threw things off its axis. First, I'll start with the trade. I thought it's a terrible trade for Jacksonville. First of all, unless he's going to be elite at both ends of the ball and he's going to be a lockdown corner and like a borderline all pro, Pro Bowl type receiver, which I don't know. I think he's going to be a good corner. I think he'll be a good pro. He'll give you something on offense, but I don't, he's not Deion. That's how I look at him. He's not Deion. To me, you're Jacksonville. You need a million things. You need defense. You need offense. You need just a lot of things, including, by the way, and this is probably the biggest problem of all, you need a quarterback. So not that I expected them or I'm going to knock them for not taking a quarterback. I thought that asset play in terms of what you gave up for what I expect you to get back, I thought that was a really bad trade. I thought it was a massive, massive overpay by Jacksonville, which seems to be the consensus. Now, look, sometimes with the consensus, everybody's saying it's a bad trade. Sometimes it goes the other way, aside from the Luka Doncic trade, which is a ridiculous trade. Sometimes when everyone agrees, oh, this was a terrible trade, be careful, because it's not that easy. Sometimes it pays to be contrarian in terms of that. But I'm agreeing with the majority, with the masses. I thought this was the big time overpay here for Jacksonville, who still needs a lot of help. We'll see what Hunter can give them, but man, you give up your pick, you give up the two, you give one next year, and that one might be very, very valuable. So I did not like the trade from a Jacksonville perspective, and that threw everything off of its axis, because the expectation coming in was Jacksonville stays at five, Browns pick Hunter. Jacksonville probably takes, it seems like, Jenty, who was a massive, massive favorite. Massive, $3 minus 300 favorite to go fifth when these lines closed at most places. The expectations was the Jags were going to take Jenty. And then, and this is where things get off track, the Raiders seem to like Banks more than everybody else. And in Banks, I talked about this on the Wednesday pod, 10-1, 12-1, 14-1, got down to 8-1. Banks to be the sixth pick was 14-1 mid-afternoon on Tuesday. He closed, Banks closed minus 250 in some spots to be pick six. But with Jenty on the board, the Raiders go Jenty, which you can argue with all their holes. Do you really need a running back? And then things just, it's like, look, betting the draft, it's like doing a puzzle where if you put one piece in the wrong place or one thing changes, you get one thing wrong, then your whole puzzle is kind of screwed. So that was the case with Banks. Bad beat. If you got good numbers on Banks and you had him at double digits, 8-1, 14-1, whatever you got him at, and then he's minus 230 and you don't get that ticket home, that's a tough one. And then it goes from there. Dart goes to the Giants. McMillan goes to the Panthers at eight. I mean, there's just not a lot of juice to this draft. I thought it was very hard from a betting perspective. And I really think some of these books that were not booking that, not putting lines up, not taking limits, you probably cost yourself money. I know the first three or four picks were predictable in terms of the names. And then Graham goes five to the Browns, and that was a loop. But, boy, I really think some of these books, if you gave them a do-over, if there's an alternate universe where they book everything and they have limits and all this stuff, as opposed to what they did and what they offered, they're probably better off offering bets, offering limits. I think they probably left a significant amount of money on the table, because this was that one curveball threw things off the axis and the steam, the late money was just not correct. As far as the draft coverage itself, takes too long to get going. Just takes too long to get going. Tennessee's on the clock. They've known since New Year's Day, basically, they're picking first. We don't need to go to 8:15, 8:20, where they get, you got 3 or 4 months to figure this thing out, and then you get another 15 minutes. You got to go a little quicker, I think. And then if you're on Twitter, Twitter's way ahead of these picks. So you're looking there, 8:30, 8:45. You got, one or two, a couple picks in. It's way too slow. Then they, for people watching at home, which I still like to watch, I still like to hear the announcer, the commissioner announce the pick. I like the drama of that aspect of it. Colleen Wolf and I think it's Laura Rutledge coming out, and Colleen Wolf is, oh, that's a tough watch. Colleen Wolf, she's coming out talking about the schedule. We got an announcement. We're announcing the schedule next May or a couple or next Wednesday, and it was May, whatever it was. I mean, just get on with the picks, please. We don't care about the announcement of the schedule. And really, that was a tough one. But always a fun night. I mean, you got the NFL draft, you got a couple playoff games. Memphis gets just absolutely blasts OKC. Knicks take control of the series against Detroit. And then it looks like the Clippers, as we're recording this, are in good shape to go up 2-1 against Denver. Clippers are probably going to beat Denver. I know it's Jokic. I know they have tiebreaker in terms of the seventh game at home if they can get there, but it looks like the Clippers just have a lot more talent than the Nuggets do. But fun night. Fun night. The story is Hunter. The story is certainly Hunter. Shador falling as much as he did. Jackson Dart going to the Giants, which, look, he's a quarterback at something. These teams, these fans want hope, if nothing else. I understand that there's some optimism, there's some upside there. But if you watched Ole Miss, they had a ton of talent. He stunk at the end of the game against Kentucky. He stunk at the end of the game against Florida. I think he's way, way more of a project than some people are letting on. And it's interesting because his number was anywhere from 24 and a half to 25 and a half, and it went right in the middle at 25. But I think Dart is, look, he's got some ability. I get it. You take swings at these quarterbacks and you just keep swinging until you hit one. I get that, but I'm not as high on Dart as other people tend to be. But I certainly understand taking a swing at it because, look, you never know with this stuff. There's so much unpredictability. It's hard to get these picks right. And until you have a quarterback, you don't have anything. And with Russell Wilson, with Winston, you don't have a quarterback that's going to be on the roster next year, 2 years. You don't have a legitimate quarterback. So even if it's a 10, 20, 30% chance, whatever it is, even if it's a small percent chance that you got your guy, I get swinging for it. So I get it from that perspective from the Giants, who end up coming away from this draft with Carter, with Dart, a pretty decent haul if you think Dart's got a chance to be good. So fun night. Fun night. It's always fun. It's always fun to have this night where you have the draft and you have the NBA and NHL playoffs. You got baseball. It's a fun day. And I really think big picture, these books probably, if you can give them a do-over, boy, there's an alternate universe where they book this stuff and they say, hey, bet whatever you want. And people line up and I understand why they're leery to do it. I understand their hesitance because they get beat on the information. They can get their clocks cleaned. I get that. But this is one where, aside from the first four picks, this really got off the rails. Graham was, it's interesting. The other thing that's interesting, Graham was favored to go five and Jeddy was favored to go six like a couple weeks ago. It was the late movement, which the late movement's usually the correct movement with this draft, with this info stuff. It was the late movement that made those scenarios underdogs. And it was supposed to be Jeddy five and then Graham sliding to who knows, 10, maybe beyond. But obviously not the case, and the Browns Jags trade was the wrinkle in all of this. So, before we get to Gail, quickly the NBA, we got some good games tomorrow. Bucks looking to stay alive, down 2-0, but you get the idea. They're not coming back from 3-0. Bucks laying 5 to the Pacers. The 5's a little inflated. My one bet for this series, Fanatics has 11-1 for the Bucks to win in 6. I don't like look life on the line. Do I think the Bucks are winning this series? No, probably not. But Lillard is back. The Pacers have no answer for Giannis. At 11-1, I do think the Bucks are relatively a coin flip to get both these in Milwaukee. I do think we're going to hear from Milwaukee in the series. And look, at 11-1, if you get both of these at home, if you're in Milwaukee, you can figure out what to do with that ticket, whether it's hedge or let it ride. Maybe just play Milwaukee on the money line game by game. But Milwaukee to win in 6, 11-1, they're going to have to win 4 in a row, and that seems unlikely. The Pacers are favored here. They're rightfully favored. I understand all of that. But 11-1, I thought was a good number on that. Minnesota and the Lakers. Lakers are getting three, so Minnesota minus three at home against LA. That series 1-1. I would expect Minnesota to win. I just think Minnesota. Now, look, if you're the Lakers, you just got to hold serve at home and get one of these three in Minnesota, and maybe they can. I think ultimately they probably can, but I'll pick Minnesota here. I just think that the Lakers had to work harder than I thought to win game two. It's just LeBron has looked old here. The rest of the roster, there's not a lot there. Minnesota's young, Minnesota's athletic, so I would actually take Minnesota minus the three. Celtics, Mavs, Magic, I don't have a great feel for. Celtics laying 4.5. I said I was going to play Magic team total under until it lost. Well, it lost the other night. They were actually able to get to 100 points in that game too. If I had to take it or lay it, I'd probably still lay it. I'd probably still go back to a Magic team total under. I'd expect Boston to win, and boy, we really don't need a best of seven. Celtics Magic, we don't need a best of seven. Heat Cavs, Grizzlies Thunder, despite Memphis, and we just don't need a best of seven with these games. That being said, I do think Boston probably wins. They've been a pretty good road team these last 4 or 5 years, and under this Tatum Brown era here, they've actually haven't been a great home team in the playoffs, but they've won a lot of games on the road. So the 4.5 is reasonable. I would probably look to lay it there with Boston. Again, I think Milwaukee has a chance not to win this. Not that I'm picking them to win the series, although at 11-1, I do think them winning four in a row here, just taking the two at home. Maybe they steal game five and you have a chance to hedge going into game six at home. I thought that 11-1 was interesting, even though I don't think, life on the line, Indiana probably is going to win this series. So fun weekend, bunch of playoff games. You could still get the Rockets plus a game and a half, minus 125. We'll see what Butler's status is. He took a nasty fall in game two as Houston was able to even that series. The Knicks win. It looks like the Knicks have stabilized and, they can go for the knockout punch here Sunday. And if they win that, they're up 3-1. They're headed home. They're winning that series. If the Pistons can win, it's 2-2 and it's a best of three and anything goes there. So good win for the Knicks. Good weekend of basketball ahead. The rest of the draft on Friday, and then it wraps up Saturday. Boy, you got to be a real, real diehard to be sitting there Saturday watching the draft. But good sports weekend. I mentioned this past. I miss when the draft was Saturday at noon, and it wrapped around the weekend where you can just kind of go in and out of the draft, watch some baseball, watch some playoffs, and just keep flipping back and forth. I don't love the Thursday night aspect of it. I miss when it was Saturday at noon, but that is not going to be the case going forward. This Thursday night prime time is here, and it does drag out this round one where, I mean, sitting here at midnight and the draft is still going. I don't know if that's ideal. I like the idea that it just takes up your whole weekend, Saturday, Sunday. It's in the afternoon. It doesn't go too late. I miss that aspect of it, but that's not going to return anytime soon. But we will get Gil Alexander's thoughts on the draft, some NBA. That is next. This is the Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Been More podcast. You can catch him on a numbers game, the Beating the Book Megapod, where he does a fantastic job. Yeoman's work. Pleasure to welcome our buddy is Gil Alexander. Gilly, what's going on, man?
What up? How you doing, man?
Okay. We'll get into some of the bigger 30,000 foot view stuff in terms of betting this draft. But first off, the story of the night is the trade up Jacksonville with the curveball. They move up, they swap with Cleveland, they take Hunter too. Your thoughts on just the asset trade? Did they overpay, which seems to be the consensus, or was this a good trade for Jacksonville here?
So the trade, just for everyone who's listening, in case they don't have it in front of them, Jags swap the fifth pick with the second, so they get the second pick in the draft. They get not only the second pick in the draft, but they get a fourth and the sixth from Cleveland. Cleveland gets the fifth pick, which they then used on Mason Graham, the defensive tackle from Michigan, next year's first round pick, in addition to a second and fourth this year. So they have two early second round picks tomorrow, an additional fourth round pick, and a first next year, and obviously got to pick fifth also. So to answer your question, I don't really, this is where my sort of talent evaluation comes in, right? I don't really feel Travis Hunter I almost said Travis Henry, who's obviously a world record holder in another category. But Travis Hunter, listen, it's the whole thing that everybody's talking about. Can you play both positions and be great at one of them? And everybody who's played in the league seems to think you can't. Everybody that I've heard seems to think you can't. And I don't know that Jacksonville is a one player or two players, if he's two players in one, a guy away from a Super Bowl or contending for a Super Bowl. I really don't think they are. So it's curious for me. There's a few things that are curious in this draft from a personnel standpoint. That is curious to me. I think the Browns did great, just because they seem to be playing the long game here, which they need to, right? Because they have the Deshaun Watson problem. Kenny Pickett acting like he's the starting quarterback next year. Maybe he is. So this feels like the Browns. We will learn more about what the Browns are doing with those first two picks tomorrow, because I'm curious to see if they draft a quarterback. If they don't, and they're just in full tank mode for Arch next year, but I give the Browns an A on the trade. I like it better than I do for Jacksonville, quite frankly.
Would you make a Sanders not getting picked in round one?
Well, I mean, I guess that's how he's evaluated, right? That's the, look, I thought a lot of the criticism leading up to the draft seemed like it was a lot of hateration by anonymous sources towards Dion. Dion is a super polarizing figure, and a lot of it seemed a little ill, a little mean-spirited. But the proof is in the pudding, right? Where these teams pick guys. And that's not going to prevent people from making a pick if they think he should get picked in the first round. And look, he didn't. The Giants traded up into the first round to get Jackson Dart. He's the second quarterback drafted, obviously, after Cam Ward. And I guess Shador is, I mean, I would imagine he goes very, close to the top of the second round tomorrow. I could be wrong about that, but I would imagine so. Look, Mel Kiper has him most of the day as his best remaining player on the board, like after the first few picks he did. So some people think he's great. I don't even think Cam Ward's that great. I just think this gets to the more macro question, which I guess is going to be your next one, so I'll let you ask it. But it gets to just the nature of this draft in general, which I think informed a lot of the draft itself from a personnel standpoint and from a betting standpoint.
Yeah, it was weird from a telecast standpoint where Schefter comes in the top of the draft. Cam Ward is going to be the first pick in the draft, and then before you could blink, if you turn your head, they're showing Shedeur Sanders tape and talking about Sanders. Wait, Ward's the pick. So I don't know. What did you think before we get to this? What did you think quickly of the telecast, just in general?
I went from ESPN to basketball back to ABC. So I left the broadcast. I thought the ESPN broadcast was fine, what I saw. I mean, it wasn't, it was your standard fare. I did think Louis Riddick was over the top about Travis Hunter. I didn't agree with him at all. I left after the Saints did not go defensive line edge, which would have made my draft instead. My draft is largely a nothing burger. I was just like, I'm watching basketball because the Knicks Pistons game was good. I went back to ABC. I don't know if you watched any of the ABC coverage.
I did not.
And I don't know if it was my TV or what it was, but every time a player was picked and they go into that montage, the music was ratcheted up so loudly that you could not hear what the broadcasters, what anybody was saying over the highlight package. And I thought surely there'd be a producer that would figure this out. It went on all night. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. It was awful. So I don't know. It's the old man in me, but I mean, goodness, that was like broadcasting 101 for me.
Yeah, there's a couple things with the telecast. I used to love the draft just from a fan perspective for a couple for different reasons, but these guys are so scared of freezing cold takes now, and to say, oh, this is going to be a bad pick, and then it's going to be showed every year. Let's just say I don't think Cam Ward's going to be a good pick. They should have picked somebody else. If Cam Ward is good, this is sh then that you're shown forever, and people laugh at you, say you're a clown. So these guys just straddle the fence. That's one thing, and man, and this leads into a larger conversation. Betting this stuff just adds a level of stress. It's skin in the game where, man, there is part of me that just I w miss watching this as a fan where I didn't have skin in the game.
That part for sure. And I don't know, you and I talked about this a little bit, but we didn't talk about it. We texted about this. You know, is this the draft that sort of, again, we all had great draft histories. And when I mean great, I mean fantastic. 2 years ago, then was the for me was the CJ Stroud one that didn't work out for the first pick.
But you had
Well,
Stingley that year, right?
but I did have Stingley that year,
Yeah.
so it was like sort of like, oh, he kind of saved that draft sort of thing. But it wasn't the same. It was just more of like save of the draft, and it ended up being a slight winner. But then last year was a loser. This year is nothing. This year might be a slight loss or slight win. I have to tally it up, but it's a nothing thing. And so the question really does become, and as betting offerings, at least where I live, are scarcer and scarcer in Nevada, is this even a thing moving
Yeah.
forward? And I think, what, let's sort of analyze the draft as a whole. I think the headline here, one of the big headlines from betting perspective is this was a even field draft. So, Drew Dinsick did a great job of articulating it on the radio side this week, where he was like, prospect 4 to 40, it was a very flat earth thing, right? A very flat earth kind of draft. And so if you have that, intel is going to be scarce and speculation is going to be abundant. And so I think that was the issue, is that trade, what that trade did, and I don't know if that trade did that well. I'll never be able to know this. None of us will. But effectively, whatever precipitated it, and maybe it was that Jacksonville Cleveland trade, what ended up happening is, as a result of it going, Jacksonville Travis Hunter at 2, but then Cleveland settling in at 5 and deciding we'll go Mason Graham. What ended up happening is that picks 1 through 6 were exactly what they were supposed to be up until 48 hours
Nope.
ago. So for all of April, it was supposed to go Ward, Hunter, Carter, Campbell, Graham, Jentie. And we'll get to Jentie in a minute. And then in the last 48 hours, it just almost felt like people needed to fill content or something. And by the way, that includes someone like me on the very end of it, which is just like, I did a podcast with Luke Swain, Vegas Refund, and Drew the other day, Drew Dinsick, Whale Capper on Tuesday, Beating the Book podcast, draft podcast. I've done over 1,000 podcasts in my life. I don't ever remember at some point in my head just being this inner voice going, there's really not much left to say after a while. And I think that was, I think, and by the way, we're all drafted out. Those of us, you do tons of radio spots yourself. You have this podcast. Weren't you kind of drafted out by yesterday and today? And so I think that's what ended up happening with that trade. It ended up reverting to what the 1 through 6 was supposed to be all along. And, I'll tell you where I made money. This is how brain dead this is. So we pontificate, we prattle on about a draft for weeks and weeks in advance. And then the day of, or the few hours right before the draft, if you're watching an offshore like Bookmaker, which I know you and I both were, you see Teteroa McMillan crash at 8. So I was like, oh, should I do it? Should I not? Should I do it? Should I not? I ended up, I couldn't resist, right? You do a plus 140 bet, he ends up minus whatever, and he goes to Carolina at 8. So someone clearly knew something. But my point being is, I should have just waited till the last 2 hours before the draft, made that one bet, and said good night. That would have been a great draft.
It's tough because you get in this mode of chasing the information. And well, I mean, I don't want to beat myself up too much because I talked about it on the Wednesday podcast. Banks 10 to 1, 14. Like, Banks on a numbers game at 10 to 1. He closed minus 230. So that doesn't lose. Am I supposed to say, oh, what a terrible bet? I don't
Yeah.
know. I mean, you get caught in this.
Will, I had the
There's so
same thing
much
with them.
information. There's so few markets until late. Who's telling the truth? Who's not? It's just, I will say this. This could be the last thing on this. This is one of the worst things to lose money on. You know what? Chiefs, Eagles, if I take Mahomes and I lose, you know what? I took Mahomes, I lost. When you lose on red information, it's just an extra gut punch where it's like, man, you just feel like such a sucker.
It's so true, man. You nailed it. It's so true. You just feel like when you win on these big, you feel like you feel so great because you're like, wow, I rolled in there. I stuck and I move. I'm out, right?
You got
What
in
a
the club for
win.
free. You got in.
Yeah. And then when you lose, it's sort of like, what do we talk about? Like, if you win or lose on your own origination on your
Yes.
bets, you're cool. But like, when you start playing someone else's bets and they win, you're all happy about it. But if they start to lose, like especially like the in-game college basketball we do, We feel so stupid. We're like, why are we playing these picks that we're not even originating, you know? So there is that. I had the same thing happen with that New Orleans, you know, Luke Swain, Vegas refund. He's like, New Orleans, defensive line edge. It was 7-1 at MGM. It was plus 450 early in the week. It closed as the favorite. Didn't get there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, all right, well, didn't get there. Can we talk about Genty for a second?
Go ahead.
First of all, everybody's going to do the winners and losers thing. So let me just give my brief one. Philadelphia always wins. They always fucking win. 31st pick, Jahad Campbell. They always win. And then I think the Giants did great, right? I mean, Abdul Carter and Jackson Dart. You know, that's fine. It's a good draft. I think the Ashton Jen. I just want to go on record. First of all, Teteroa McMillan to Carolina at 8. He's so great. Ashton Jeanty 6 to the Raiders, man. I feel like I'm in the minority. I won't say I'm on an island, but I definitely feel like I'm in the minority. There seems to be this massive amount of groupthink on Jeanty that I just cannot get past, which is like everybody has decided he's Saquon or Derrick Henry or something. Like Derrick Henry is a generational back who went to the Ravens. Saquon Barkley is a generational back who went to the Eagles. Those are teams that were already great and they're getting generational backs. Now we've somehow catapulted that into, oh, the NFL's back to running backs. Genty, greatest running back in college football. Oh, he's absolutely a top 10 pick, let alone, you know, sixth pick in the draft. And I'm just like, this is not Jahmyr Gibbs going 12. And I get it, people thought the Lions were crazy for Jahmyr Gibbs at 12. The Lions had a setup offensive line. The Raiders don't. He played in the Mountain West. He's small. I just don't understand that pick. I don't. And I made, by the way, like you just said about Mel Kiper and those guys, tape this. This might be the worst take of all time, but I just don't get that.
Neither do I, especially since there's so many good running backs. You need so much stuff. I guess I get the thought process of, you know what, it's a bad draft. There's not a lot of good players. Let's just take the sure thing. Genty's probably not going to make you look terrible. It's probably going to be at least a single or a double. It's not like Genty's going to be out of the league in 3 years. Let's just take something safe where it will be exciting. He'll be pretty good. He'll be pretty good right away, and we're not going to look bad. But I'm with you. And the GM is a younger guy too, very analytically sound, analytically driven. I think Spygate's his name. So JVT, who I do the shows with on Saturday, was like, man, I study his press conferences. You listen to him speak, and you would think running back's not the pick. Well, running back's the pick. So they paid a 35-year-old Geno Smith to play quarterback, and they took a running back. So, boy,
No.
in that division, it's tough, but we'll see.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, I'm just trying to think of some other things about this draft also, which is, you know, I just have a feeling we look back on this draft and we're kind of like, meh. Like when you look years later back at you go to the Wikipedia page and you see who's picked where and they're the great ones are in you know, are color coded. I just wonder if this is going to be a year where we like it's very sparse on some of these guys.
Yes.
I don't know.
2013 NBA draft is like that, where it's like crap, 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 out of the league. I like, oh, Giannis at 14, crap,
Right.
crap, crap. And yeah, you get something like that.
Who knows? Who
Anything else
knows?
on the draft before I ask a couple NBA things?
The only other thing, Colston Loveland goes first as tight end to Chicago instead of Tyler Warren, who just falls into the Colts' lap. That just another thing of we know nothing. We know nothing. I mean, just generally speaking, sure, we knew one and we knew two and we knew three, and maybe we even knew four, five, and six, I guess. But man, after that, did we know a damn thing? And it's not just, and I'm gonna say, when we say we at least are not solely beholden to just doing the NFL draft. Imagine these guys like Daniel Jeremiah
Right.
and all the other draftniks who that's their primary gig. Like in the end, Daniel Jeremiah had over 2.5 quarterbacks. He had over 2.5 running backs. Neither hit, right? He had Mykal Williams going ninth to the Saints. He had Teteroa going 12th to the Cowboys.
Bank
So did,
six.
yes, so did Todd McShay. He had all three of those. Didn't have the running backs and the quarterbacks necessarily. He had the other way on the quarterbacks and running backs. But as far as those teams with those players, so anyway, it's an inexact science. We're betting on them picking in exactly maybe where the Meshuggah ones.
Do you think the books have a little bit of regret not booking this stuff? Do you think they probably left money on the table?
Great fucking point again. I think they did leave money on the table, but I think they would never admit that to themselves, even because I think the fear of getting crushed still exists with them.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. I wonder if a draft like this makes somebody think it, but I don't know, maybe it's just like you said, it's the risk of getting crushed, and it's just lazy. You know what? It's Grizzlies Thunder, we can make a line. Knicks Pistons, we can make a line. These who's going to be the second offensive lineman or this stuff, like all this stuff, it's just hard to make a line, so they just kind of take their ball and they go home. So
No.
I don't know. Fascinating. NBA. It looks like as we're recording this, the Thunder have made quite the comeback. Down 28 at halftime, and they are right back in this game. We'll see how that goes. Not that Memphis is any sort of threat to win that series, but the game's Friday. Celtics, Magic, Pacers, Bucks, and then Lakers, Timberwolves. Do you have any opinion on any of these three from a side standpoint, series standpoint? Take it whatever direction you'd like.
I think of those three games, the one that I have the most opinion on, I think is the Lakers and the T-Wolves. I think the Lakers are in big trouble
Me too.
because I think the Lakers, if you look at sort of just analytically at that great stretch they had at the end of the season, a lot of it was they just had opposing field goal percentage luck. It wasn't like they were defending the arc well. They just really ran into a stretch where the other teams were just simply missing shots. And Minnesota, in the game they lost, missed a bunch of shots again. By the way, Lakers weren't so great either, but I just think if Minnesota plays even above average at all, that they kind of have the advantage here. And because I feel like the Lakers, and by the way, that's no shame to the Lakers. I wouldn't expect the Lakers to get it together this soon. I think for next year they'll be more interesting. But it just feels like when Luka gets the ball, the whole offense just stagnates to me. I don't know. I think Minnesota, I don't think they have an answer for Naz Reid. I don't think they have an answer for Ant. I think Minnesota is going to win that series.
Do you think Milwaukee is completely drawing dead?
I don't know if they're doing. I mean, drawing dead in the fact, do I think they'll win the series? I don't think there's any chance they will. So yeah, I mean, will they win a game here? Perhaps, absolutely. But I think Indiana's just a better team. And then what was the third? Boston was the other one.
Yeah,
I don't think
Boston, Orlando.
I don't think anybody gave Magic a shot to begin with. So there's nothing I could add there. But I just feel like in these first round series that the Knicks and Detroit. I'd love to say the Clippers Denver, but the Clippers are just destroying Denver tonight.
Sure are.
The Knicks Detroit series feels like it is the one that will go seven.
Yeah, I thought Clippers Nuggets could go seven. I thought Lakers T Wolves can go seven. And look, it's they still have a very good chance to. We're 1-1-1. We're about to be
Yeah,
2-1 in the
of
others. It's not
course.
like it's
Yeah.
I think we all have a tendency. It's just natural human reaction to overreact to the previous game, but I do think the Clippers have some major advantages. Rockets, Warriors. Are you concerned about your
Oh.
Warriors? What are you getting with Butler here?
Well, yeah, if they don't have Butler, I'm super concerned. I mean, what were they with with Butler down the stretch? Let me get this. I
That
know
was
I have
incredible.
with Butler after the Butler trade and with Butler in the lineup, they were 23-7 with him in the lineup. 23-7. And I think in games with him and Steph, it was even better than that. But Shams is reporting that he is very unlikely to go in game three. And could they eke out a win because they're the Warriors and they have Steph and they're going to be at home? Of course they can. But your question, does it concern me? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they were a number two seed in the West. It's not like they should be just dismissed as so many people were down the stretch. Like, wow, you want to play the Rockets. Well, you did probably want to play the Rockets, but it's not like they suck. So yeah, it concerns me, but do I think that the Warriors probably eke out the series? I do. Warriors in six still feels to me like the most likely outcome.
Yeah, I'm tempted, and I gave it up before the series, but if I had nothing in pocket, Rockets plus a game and a half, just the fact that it's Butler. I mean, I am the two seed if I'm Houston and Golden State. I mean, think about it this way. You got the two seed and you have the seven seed without their second best player. I'm getting a game and a half. I could see another scenario. I mean, Golden State's had a habit of winning these soul crushing, like game deciding or series deciding games in Houston in this run. Now it's a different Houston team, but Golden State's not afraid to win on the road. It would just be sort of fitting if they won one more. I wouldn't want to see Curry in a game seven, but without Butler, I would fear that maybe Houston is able to push this to seven. I think with Butler, Golden State probably could have closed it out in six, but I'm not sure without him.
How about the fact that you've had two NBA stars in two nights
I know.
get upended like a wide receiver by a cornerback, in Butler and Ja? OKC has made up 24 of these points as we speak right now. They're down three late in this game, a little under 4 minutes left, without Ja. So it's like, I'm sure OKC right now is in the mode of, let's just get this win so we can finish this series as quickly as humanly possible. That remains to be seen. But after a couple really competitive nights, you really do, it does feel like, and you're right, there could be overreaction to this, but it does feel like most of these series, I shouldn't say that. I should give Denver more respect. Maybe Denver will come back in game four. We'll see.
We could have done all this in five. There's a lot in the office, like when they have some big meetings about something. So we could have done this over email. We could have done all this in five. I mean, we don't need these best of sevens for
Yes.
Heat, Cavs, and Magic, Celtics, Thunder, Grizzlies. It was so much more efficient. It was so much more exciting. Boy, I know it's a money grab and they want extra games, but it was just so much better when it was best of five. It really was.
It was five's enough. Again, we spoke briefly about this morning. When I was a really young kid, it was a best of three, and I think the NBA realized that's a little too dicey, too small of a sample size. But five is fine. Baseball has it right, right? Baseball does a best of five still. The division round is still a best of five in baseball. That's the
Yeah,
way to do
absolutely.
it. And
Yeah,
baseball
absolutely.
is way more random than this is,
100%.
Yeah, I think five is the way to go. I do think that nothing has changed at the top necessarily. I don't think maybe it has. Maybe some people feel like the Clippers are a legitimate threat to OKC. Some people would be justified perhaps in feeling that way. I am not necessarily one of those people, but I don't think there's, let's put it this way, I don't think there's anything to burst the OKC Cleveland bubble. Excuse me, the Boston Cleveland Conference Finals in the East. I don't think anybody thinks that there's much of a threat to that. And then, will it be OKC and I don't know, Golden State? If Butler plays, it's possible. If he doesn't play, forget about it.
I mean, he needs to be 100% too. It can't be one of these things where he plays, but he's not 100%. They just don't have enough on the rest of the roster, I don't think.
No, not at all.
Gilly, yeah, go
Tough
ahead.
night. Tough night with a draft. I wish it were more lucrative, but it just wasn't.
Yeah. You and me both, man. But I would say this is the end of the draft betting, but I don't know. Like, this will be the last thing. NBA draft, NFL draft going forward. Is this something where a night like this changes how you feel on it, or we're gonna look back in a couple months when we have the NBA draft and say, you know what, we get information, we see a number, we're still gonna fire on it.
Yeah, but the NBA draft is always just a like a. I mean, how many bets do you actually have on the NBA draft? I mean, Paolo Banchero obviously was the most famous NBA draft winner for most of us. But it's like
That's a
I don't
30
ever.
for 30 waiting to happen, by the way. That whole Paolo night and the odd swings, that whole
Oh, it's
everything.
fantastic! It was fantastic. Woj just being completely caught off guard by it 5 minutes before. But I don't expect to have more than one or two picks, one or two bets at the most in the NBA draft. And then I'm sure, listen, the one thing that this does remind us of tonight, even if we didn't win a whole bunch of money, there's nothing like the NFL. Like this is so far beyond every
Oh,
other
it's our
sport.
drug. It's our
It's a
drug.
drug, it's a religion, right? It's unbelievable. And so, come next year, will I not be betting it? I mean, that's probably a big up. That's probably a big underdog, probably. But if I do start to get those feelings, right, then I will tell you. Like, if I still, if the muscle memory of this, like the flat earth thing that Drew talks about, if we have a draft like that next year, which I don't know that we will, but if we did and we start to get those vibes, I could see it being less of a thing. Let's put it that way.
And I think you and I and people like us are almost in the worst position because we get just enough information to wet our
Yes.
beak where we think we're getting something. Where if we weren't in this, we were just normal. If we were just, had some other job or whatever, we wouldn't get this information and we would just do it recreationally. We would bet less stuff, but we get just enough of a taste where we think we're getting something. That's the tease of all of it.
Also, part of it is, what are we not going to talk about it on our shows?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that. I mean, you got to talk about it. Absolutely.
I mean, there's always, listen, I only talk, we talk about it because we bet on it. If I'm not betting on something, I'm less likely to talk about it. And so,
Sure.
do we talk about the draft more than some people care for? Absolutely. Like, there's a portion of the audience that can't wait for this week to be over. Like, oh,
Right.
for God's sakes, get the draft behind us already. Let's get back to baseball. Let's get back to
The
basketball and
games.
hockey.
People like the games. I get it.
Yeah. So, I mean, but will it ever go away entirely? No, nah, man, it's the NFL. Come on.
Gilly, you're the best, man. Beating the book, a numbers game. Appreciate it, man. Where else can we get you?
Beating the book, of course, the numbers game, and that's about it. Just those two places. Is there anything else I do? I don't think so.
All right. Well, we'll do it again soon. You'll hit a May most wins bet that I'm sure you'll talk about, and it'll make up for all this. So,
Oh, Jesus. And by the way, if the Mets win March, April, I'm gonna kill myself out.
this is turning into a therapy session. So, we will wrap it on this, and we will have you again on soon and under better terms, where we'll both be smiling and enjoying it. All
Thank you, brother. Appreciate
right.
it.
See you. Thanks. All right. Thanks to Gil Alexander. Go to goldboys.com. Check out the Discord. Rate, review, subscribe. Could use a few more Apple reviews, Spotify reviews. Those always help. Appreciate you guys listening. We will be back Monday. Enjoy the sports weekend. See you then.